Cleaning Nation. Welcome back to another super fun, fantastic episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I am super excited to hang out with you today. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company and taking it to the next level, getting the time and money freedom that you've always wanted, go to growmycleaningcompany.com right now. You will find hundreds of hours of podcasts, of videos, of blogs. There's a video I just made for you on five shifts you need to grow your cleaning company. It's all fantastic. It's all complimentary. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now. Before you forget, today we are chatting with return guest and longtime friend, if I can be so bold, Christina Jocelyn. She's the owner of Your Happy House Cleaner. If you want to reach out to Christina and her team, you can hold them at yourhappyhousecleaner.com. Christina, welcome back. So glad to have you, sister.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
So just so you guys know, I think I've been working with Christina in our little elite group for feels like a year now. She's been on the podcast before. I think she came in. I did a case study with her because she's doing such cool stuff. I'll try and link to both her case study and her other podcast. So when you inevitably fall in love with Christina and want more and more, you can get all that. Not only that, I believe we are recording this just like a week or two before our live event. I'm going to do my best to see if we can make this actually go live during our live event. So when this thing gets released to you, Cleaning Nation, Christina and I will be hanging out in Temecula together, growing her business along with 15 other entrepreneurs. If anyone wants a live event, growmycleaningcompany.com/live will always give you the update on the latest and greatest next live event we got coming. That said, what's going on in your world that I can help you with today, young lady?
Sure thing. Well, I have been going through the Clean Profit Method, getting ready for the live event. And of course, I've gone through it before too, so I'm doing a refresher. And I'm getting ready to hire. So when I talked to you a year ago, I had hired a couple ladies and we haven't really grown, and so I'm ready to grow. And so we're going to be hiring some people to clean. The lady that was with me last year, she is an amazing employee, and she is everything that I am not. She's organized, detail-oriented, all this other stuff. And so my goal is to get her into an administrative role working alongside of me once I get some cleaners hired. But I know that that can't happen right away, and so I'm just kind of curious if you have any words of wisdom on how, when you start looking into that aspect of the company growth, like in the administrative part.
Yes, I love that question. And I'm sure we've gotten on the podcast before, but I can't remember when. It's been a while, and I do a lot of this in my one-on-one coaching. So this is a key thing. So let's first and foremost, as always, talk about kind of the system of how to do that. So we have a platform to run everything through all these decisions, kind of have an overreaching plan, and then we can kind of talk about how to apply that to your specific situation today. Does that sound okay?
Perfect.
Okay. So first and foremost, I always would encourage you, if you haven't read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, great book, and he talks about the value of an org chart and kind of having who is in what box, or kind of breaking down all of the jobs in your business by box. So the way that you might do this is you might write down all the things. And even if you're just starting, you have no employees, it's just you, you just write down all the things that need to be done. So you might have cleaning would be a good start. Buying cleaning supplies, scheduling cleaners, selling, giving bids, marketing, billing, collecting money, accounting for that money, all that good stuff, right? So you write it all down. You'll typically find that it falls into one of three boxes. One is selling it, and that could be broken down into sales and marketing, right? Marketing would be getting leads to come to you, and sales would be converting those leads into customers. So getting customers would be one of the three main boxes. Getting the work done, providing the service that we're selling would be the second box, and then accounting for the whole thing would be the third box. You'll find that no matter what tasks you have, they all fall into one of those three boxes, other than things like creating culture, vision, all that sort of stuff, and that would be kind of a CEO owner level type stuff. So once you've got all of the tasks that you think need to be done in your business, you kind of want to break them down into logical boxes that would be done together, right? So under accounting for everything might be receivables and payables, right? Receivables would be collecting money. Payables would be stuff like paying for rags, doing payroll, any sort of money going out, handling that, right? Once you've got those boxes, if you're just starting, you put your name in all the boxes. So CEO, Christina, and then below the CEO, general manager, Christina, and that job's person is to oversee the other people. And then there's CFO, chief financial officer, which handles all the money. That's Christina. And then COO, chief operations officer. Well, that's Christina. She handles all the operations.
No wonder I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you got too many boxes, sister. Your name's just everywhere all over this damn thing. So, and then you just have all the boxes, and what you want to do is start at the bottom, right? And at the very bottom is going to be the cleaner, right? That's probably your lowest level, entry-level position, and we're going to hire you out of that one first. So first and foremost, you always want to have a plan that we're adhering to and trying to fill people that fit that position, which is the right way to do it, versus how a lot of new owners of cleaning companies start, or new entrepreneurs, period, which they find people that they love, and they try and create a position to fit that person's skill set, which can kind of hobble you along from 0 to 10, maybe even 20 employees. But once you start getting beyond that, it's really hard to be like, well, John did our website and was good at accounting, and Susan was a cleaner slash, payroll lady, and this guy, you know, everyone just did all these weird things because that's what they could do. Really hard to scale that. But when you've got a list of here are all the jobs that need to be done, and they should be kind of categorized in a way that makes sense. Like the payables person, the receivables person probably have a different skill set than the marketing person, who probably has a different skill set than the salesperson, who probably has a different sales skill set than the scheduler. So you want to make sure that we plan all the jobs that we need based on what needs to be done, and kind of putting them together in reasonable skill sets that make sense. And then we try and put people to get Christina's name out of that box. Is that overall, foundationally, does that make sense before we move on?
Yes.
Okay. That's the first rule. So we create the positions first, and then find the people to fit the positions second. We never find the person first and try and jam them into some sort of position or create a position that doesn't exist because we love them. That's the first. Once we've got that down, always got to be out of the field 100%. If it makes no sense if we are still cleaning to hire somebody to do something that's not cleaning. Our only goal from a hiring perspective when we are cleaning at all is to get enough cleaners so we never have to clean. So are you at the point, I know you're making that transition, you went from cleaning all of it to cleaning some of it. Are we to cleaning none of it yet, or are you still in the field a little bit?
Nope, not yet. I'm not there yet.
Okay, so this conversation wouldn't be ready until we get you out of the field. And at the live event, I think we're going to give you the tools to do that. But you still want to be out of the field and be out of the field for a good month before we start hiring admin people. It makes no sense to pay someone else to do admin when you're cleaning. See how that makes – that's a nutball. Like, you should stop cleaning and do the admin first. And also, we want to make sure that typically we want to tell the people what they need to do and help them write a job description. What we don't want to do is just be like, oh my gosh, there's all this admin headache and I don't know what I'm doing. I hate doing it. You do it. Here's some money, and then run away. That's a great way to set them up to fail. So we need you out of the field completely doing admin work, being very specific about what we want to hire for, and then being able to spend some time with that person to train them and get them up to speed to do the work for you, as opposed to trying to run off and clean and do too many things at once. So rule one, org chart first, fit people in that make sense, not, find people that you love and try and cram them into an org chart that doesn't exist. Thing two, you always got to be out of the field. Thing three, from a financial standpoint, you want to make sure that you can afford it. And the way that you do that is, and you're like, well, how do I know what to pay them? Well, we've talked about this before on the show. It's 50, 30, 20, and that's general. Doesn't mean you have to be right on spot on, but you don't want to be, you know, worlds away from this. 50% cost of goods sold. In residential, I like 45 to 50%. In commercial, I like 50 to 60 tops, and that's only for really large accounts. I'd really like you to stay at the 50% mark unless you're over $3,000-$4,000 a month. And even then, still try and stay at the 50, but it's not as bad if you go over. 30% overhead. And then 20% profit. So we always want to make sure the profit is taken care of first. It doesn't matter if we hire the best general manager ever so we don't have to do any work, but then there's no profit left over, right? Well, shoot, we can have no profit for free, right? Why have this job if it's not going to make any profit? So if we're at 10 grand a month, we know that we've got $3,000 a month for all of our overhead, right? That includes client attraction, right? So any money that we're going to do, investment in ourselves and our employees, if we want to do any training for ourselves, for our employees, that's in there. Rent, insurance, vehicles, phones, you know, all that good stuff all has to come out of that $3,000 a month. So we want to make sure as we grow, once we're doing 50,000 a month, well, now we've got 15,000, right? 30% of 50 grand a month is 15,000. There's probably some room in there to hire an ops person. So we just want to make sure budget-wise, we know what we're dealing with. And if you take 30% of your total revenue, that's the amount you have for all of your overhead, not just the ops person, right? So if you're like, well, I'm doing 15 grand a month, that's 4,500 in overhead I have. Well, I can afford an ops person for 4,500. Well, keep in mind, that's for all of your overhead, all of your expenses. You got to make sure that you pay things like we talked about, like rent or you know, insurance and all that good stuff before we hire the ops person. So that is kind of the steps I would do. First and foremost, make sure you've got an org chart that makes sense. Second of all, make sure you're out of the field first and you're consistently out of the field, not just for 2 days and you might have to go back. And third, start looking at your overhead, and 30% of that to 30% of your total sales is overhead, and start budgeting. Okay, what can I pay this person to do? You know, what's a reasonable salary, and how much can I afford? And you might have to start with part time, right? Maybe if you're doing, you know, $15,000 a month, that's $4,500 for overhead, and you're like, man, I've got marketing and rent and all this other stuff. I've only got $1,200 a month left over for a person. Well, that's fine. Maybe that person is part time, right? Maybe they just focus on one piece of it. So, did that? I don't know if that bummed you out, helped you out, got you excited. Give me some feedback, sister. How are we doing so far?
No, that was perfect. You laid it out very well. I could visualize that, and that's good. I'm understanding your system perfectly for hiring the cleaners, but I was already getting ahead of myself, obviously, and trying to plan further ahead. And I think that's where I've let myself get overwhelmed in the past anyways. Instead of taking it one thing at a time, I'm just like, I have a business I have to create. I need to do it all. And how do I do it all? And then, you know, instead of taking it little piece at a time. And so you laid it out really nicely where it makes me feel less overwhelmed.
Well, good. The goal is to take out of overwhelm and get into feeling calm. And as a member of the Clean Profit Method, that's one of the things I always encourage you guys. A lot of times there's this need for, I got to do more. I got to do this. I got to do that. And you kind of, not you, but people make up these things that they have to worry about that they really don't. So once you've got the system, and I know you're in the system, Christina, all you got to do is kind of go step by step by step by step, as opposed to worrying about the next thing or the thing three steps down the road. Just worry about the step that you've got first and foremost. So that's what I encourage you, sister, is just go through the process, stay in system, and don't worry about things that haven't come to pass yet. Does that make sense at all?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, needs on this thing, or do you want to roll right into lightning round, sister?
You answered everything I needed to know today, so...
Lightning round it is. Then I'm done. I'm going to relax while you do some work. We're at Cleaning Nation, as we head into lightning round, again, I want to remind you, go to growmycleaningcompany.com, get the video I just made for you, podcasts, blogs, all sorts of good stuff. I think access to our Facebook group. We're knocking on 5,000 people in that thing. Tons of resources. If you really want to grow your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com will get you access to all that good stuff. All right, enough of that. Let's hit the lightning round. Christine, I'm going to give you three quick questions. I cannot wait to hear the three amazing answers that you have. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
It would be get out of your own head and do it even though you're scared. I've been given lots of great advice, but that is the great advice that I struggled the most to follow. And you know, when I talked to you last year, I was so excited to get going. I grew so fast, and then I let myself get scared. I feel like I need to have everything figured out before I go forward. And it is taking me a long time to realize you can't have it all figured out before you go forward. You just have to go forward and deal with stuff as they come. And that's how you get better. And so I was actually told today, get out of your own head. So,
I don't know who told you that, but I want to give them a hug because I know you, and that's great advice specifically for you, sister. I couldn't agree with that human being and their wisdom anymore. All right, question number two. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? So maybe we can all learn from you and not make the same mistakes, but make better mistakes.
So this is going to be redundant, but same thing, letting fear hold me back, doubting myself. You can learn all day long, but if you just learn and learn and learn and don't apply it, you're never going to get anywhere. And, you can hold yourself back from doing something really great just because you're scared of how it might turn out.
Man,
if it might turn out negatively.
I love that. And I think this is actually a really good venue for that because we're on a podcast, right? And it's so easy to, oh, that's a great podcast. Next. That's a great podcast. Next. And go through 37 podcasts and go, man, I am smarter. That's better. I've got so much knowledge, and then not do a blessed thing and get absolutely zero value. So I think that's actually great feedback in terms of these podcasts are great. All the resources we give are great. But until you get out and actually do something, the value is going to be none, virtually none to less than that. So great, great feedback. All right. Last question, sister, here's an easy one. What is your favorite book? So we can all kind of learn from each other, what we're all reading and what's bringing the most valuable value into Christina's life today.
I love to read, and I have lots of books on my shelf. And I have to say that the one I have gotten some of the most value out is called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. And it's about setting personal boundaries in your life, and it can apply to, you know, personal relationships, business, or anything. But that has been probably the most beneficial to me in my life, with both my relationships, family, friends, and also business, because you need to know who you are, and you need to know what your values are, and you need to have the boundaries set in place to where you're able to interact with other people well. And that book teaches you how to do that, and it is amazing.
You know, I've never heard that book referred to in kind of the business world, but now that I think about it, a lot of what we talk about, certainly when it comes to raising prices and dealing with employees, really does come down to boundaries. And I think people get afraid of doing that kind of mentally. And it's not a business decision they have a problem with. It's a mental or emotional decision that they can't handle. And I think it's because they don't have that foundation of strong boundaries and understanding that. So I think that's actually, I like that. It's kind of an outlier. I don't think it's been recommended on the show before, but I think just like you said, personally, certainly can have some value, but those concepts work in business too. All right, Christina, thank you for coming back and putting up with us. I can't wait to see you at the live event. Hopefully when this comes out, you and I will be hanging out with everyone else at that event. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Christina's show notes page and every blessed thing you'd ever want to know and stuff you don't even want to know on how to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.